This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's the 25th day of February, and a pretty decent day out there. Looks like going to jump up to the 50s pretty quickly here, and another nice day, and then I guess some rain sometime tomorrow. But that's kind of what we're facing in the weather. We don't have to worry about it. Nothing like last week, right? We're not panicked about anything coming in, and we can all relax, take a breath. Kim St. Ange has the day off. Hopefully she's out enjoying this weather a little bit, and she'll be back with us tomorrow morning. Carl Middleman in here with me this morning. Sue Thomas keeping you on track on your way to work. If any problems pop up, of course, she's going to have the latest on that. Coming up, we're going to get to 2A Tuesday. I am friends with a lot of people who are in law enforcement. A number of them are in positions of authority. And a lot of the people who are in positions of authority in law enforcement were very unhappy with the Second Amendment Preservation Act that passed last year. And then it was found, or maybe 2 years ago, but then it was found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, and legislators are taking another run at it. We're going to talk to the Missouri Firearms Coalition about that this morning and how maybe they've addressed some of those concerns this time around. We'll get to Jared Taylor at the bottom of the hour. He used to be a state representative. He's now with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Also, Senator Adam Schnelting is coming up in the next hour. Well, you just had a great interview this morning with John Lamping, our former state senator, on the whole Roundup bill that Bayer is pushing. It's passed the House somehow in the state of Missouri. It's going to the Senate, and we're going to get Senator Schnelting to talk about that and his bill, of course, to assign gender-specific bathrooms. It would allow you to say that's for biological men, that's for biological women. And we don't need to go to a Supreme Court justice who can't tell you what a woman is anymore. So we'll get to Adam Schnelting at about 8:20 this morning and get you caught up to date. If you've missed anything today, yesterday, last week, you can always go back and pick up the Mark Cox podcast. We put it out wherever you get your podcasts from, right? Maybe you download them from Apple. You can find it there. Obviously, 97.1 FM, you can get it on our website. You can get it on the Odyssey app. And we try to make that easy for you. So please go on there and check that out. Carl, let's get to our top stories this morning, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The world's richest people are just getting richer and even faster than expected.
Oxfam is out with the envy report this morning, is what I call it. They want you to know how rich the richest people are and the fact that Donald Trump is surrounded by them. You should be jealous.
We have people that don't show up to work and nobody even knows if they work for the government. So by asking the question, tell us what you did this week, what he's doing is saying, are you actually working?
Yeah, how about that? That is, of course, President Trump saying, hey, you know what? Why shouldn't you have to explain what you did for your job last week? What's wrong with that? And if you really can't say, maybe indeed there's a problem.
President Attorney General Bondi and now Director Akash Patel offered this role. I'm going to accept the role.
Yeah, Dan Bongino there. Boy, Andy McCabe's mad. Dan Bongino's going to take over his old job and probably fire a lot of people, if I had to guess.
Job is a lot harder than people think. The mayor is not responsible for everything.
That's Mayor Tishara Jones, and she has not come on this radio station in as long as I can remember. She turned down all of our requests when she was running the first time around. I mean, I've got her cell phone number. I assume it's still her cell phone number. I texted her and said, hey, we'll have you on to talk about running for mayor, and crickets. I didn't hear anything back. So anyway, she did go down the hall to KMOX yesterday, and she talked to them about what was going on. And I wanted to play a little bit of that for you this morning. The gist of it, I think that soundbite I just played right there probably sums up the majority of her message to voters right now. Listen.
Job is a lot harder than people think. The mayor is not responsible for everything.
So if you're mad, you just need to know that it's probably not Tishara Jones' fault. If you're a city resident and you don't feel like you're getting enough personal attention when it comes to, the dumpsters full of trash that are backed up in the alleyway behind your house, or maybe the 2 or 3 inches of ice and snow that was on your street for 26 days through most of the month of January. None of that is Tishara Jones' fault, is the impression I got yesterday. You need to, there are other people that should be held accountable for that besides the chief executive of the city of St. Louis.
You know, we have a tripartite form of government, which means that all money spent have to be approved by myself, the comptroller, and the president of the Board of Aldermen. And there are other departments that I don't control at all. You know, we have 6 citywide other or countywide elected officials.
How about the streets department? Does she control that, Carl Middleman? I'm just wondering out loud.
She does.
Oh, she does control the streets department. Well, she had an excuse for that one, too. If you're one of those city residents who did not get your street cleaned, unlike the street of one Vervis Jones, this is what the mayor had to say about that.
Delivery of city services, which you've kind of alluded to, has been a key issue in this race. What would you say to critics who are pointing to things like snow removal, trash removal, responsiveness of city departments as a reason to change leadership?
I would say that they should look at previous administrations, because we've had these same problems in previous administrations, but somehow it's a problem under me.
Yeah. Shout out to Reardon for this little jib right here. maybe we should just, we need to edit several of those together back to back to back to back to back. And it'll sound almost like the Kamala cackle. She does it every time she says something that she's clearly either uncomfortable with or not sure of, or wants to self-deprecate, was the thing I picked up on yesterday. At the end of the day, she doesn't want to be blamed for anything in the city.
Mayor, what are we not talking about enough?
We are not talking about enough I think we talked about it already, that the mayor's not responsible for everything, right? And that I think we're not talking about enough that...
Just so you know, that's your answer. The mayor is not responsible for everything or anything in this case, it doesn't appear. Certainly not all of the restaurants and the businesses like KSDK who were fleeing downtown because of the crime problem while you fiddle and Rome burns in the background. Wow. All right. We're going to get to a break here. Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First, is coming up next. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk more about the Second Amendment Preservation Act, Part 2.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Omicid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Omicid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
By definition, are we in a constitutional crisis?
Dangerously close to a constitutional crisis.
Constitutional crisis.
Constitutional crisis.
Ladies and gentlemen, a man who is never in crisis unless it's watching the same children's movie over and over again, Todd Pyro.
Fun fact, Zachary Levi Levy, I can never say the guy's name, he was doing the circuit here at Fox and throughout New York this week promoting his new movie. Did he get to the Mark Cox Morning Show?
He did not. We did not hear from him. No, I'm sorry to hear
that.
Did
you reach out? I mean, I feel like he's trying to hit conservative media and, you know, you could play that song for him and he'd be like, I know all the words.
I'll bet he does. That's funny.
Oscar nominated.
No, I did not get any notification that he was doing a media tour.
There you go. No, he did Gutfeld. He did a bunch of other shows here. I, of course, pushed for him to do my show.
Yes.
But they thought I would fangirl too much and dress up like Flynn Rider, his character, which, you know, I probably could because, again, my kids think I'm Flynn Rider, and it's pretty cute.
That's pretty cool. Can you imagine taking home a picture of yourself with him? Did you get to do that when he was there?
No, because I was Gutfeld.
I was late.
180 time here, so yes. You know it's tough. Eventually, it'll happen. I'll get my picture. It'll happen.
That is always the biggest challenge to doing a morning show, whether it's radio or TV, is that a lot of these guests don't want to get up that early, wherever they are, particularly if they're on LA time. But even if they're in your town, getting them into your studio at 6 or 7 in the morning is not easy, and you're on earlier than that.
So we usually send a cop car to wake them up, and then they get scared. If, hey, while you're up, hey, I'll slap a microphone on you, see what happens.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, man, I don't know. What do you think? Dan Bongino to the FBI? I heard Andrew McCabe whining about it over on CNN this morning.
Andrew McCabe whining?
I've never heard
of such a thing. No, I mean, look. Dan's a buddy. I texted him and I said, good luck, buddy. And he made the hands together sign, which either means prayer or thank you. Somebody, I've seen that come out. You know, I've seen people comment on that both ways. But regardless, he responded back. And, you know, I'm excited that I got that response back. But yeah, I mean, look, he's talked about all these scandals and all these like under the surface scandals that we don't even report. So if you have done something nefarious and Dan Bongino and Kash Patel are allowed to sort of have free reign to go after you, be afraid.
Yeah, well, I think McCabe might be a little afraid. I don't know what the statute of limitations are, but I'm thinking Operation Crossfire Hurricane, tapping the phones in Trump Tower, FISA abuse, all of that happened under that administration. And here's McCabe's biggest concern. Listen.
And do it competently without any of that knowledge or understanding or experience. It's confounding.
Yeah, he doesn't think Bongino can do it because he doesn't have institutional knowledge. And I think he's missing the bigger point that Trump is looking for somebody from outside who can disrupt a little bit.
Right. The institutional knowledge is exactly what they're trying to get rid of at the FBI. You know, this isn't like the air traffic controls. You want that institutional knowledge because there's a way of making sure planes don't hit each other. At the same time, the FBI, you don't want the institutional knowledge that's been at the top. You want the rank and file to continue their ability using their quote unquote institutional knowledge and training to go get the bad guys that are trying to kill us. You don't want the institutional knowledge of, here's how we tried to set up the president and stuff like that. So yeah, I think McCabe is missing the point. And, you know, like they're acting like these two guys, Patel and Bongino, have never spent a day in law enforcement. You know, it's not like they asked Carly and me to be one and two at the FBI. If they did that, you know, there could be something to say for, man, he really just taking anybody off of Fox and putting him in the administration. That might be an issue. But, you know, these two have done it. They know how to go after bad guys.
Yep.
And for me, I look at this through a lens of football. And look, I'm going to make fun of my Giants here. You know, I feel like sometimes the Giants get too focused on, oh, did this person do this specific job before? I want the best football players in the building, because at the end of the day, if you know how to play football, you should be able to figure out the system to be successful. And I feel like that's what's going on here with Patel and Bongino. They understand how our system of justice works. They understand the processes by which you go after and get the bad guys and then prosecute them. And if they can bring that to the fore and root out corruption, I think we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to open up my own TDS urgent care here in St. Louis, just watching the reaction from all these liberals. I think Hegseth and all of these people that Trump has appointed are right on point. He told you in the election what he was going to do. And then the first thing he did was get rid of the woke general in charge of the Joint Chiefs. And Hegseth had to go on and defend it yesterday for some odd reason, even though most presidents appoint their own director of the Joint Chiefs, right?
Well, no, Trump's not allowed to do any of that.
Yeah, I guess not.
He's got to keep everybody from the deep state. But I love your point, Mike. This is what he told us he would do.
Yes.
And it's like the second time around, they're still confused that he's being Trump. Like, what am I missing? You all knew this would happen. And like the Doge people, the people complaining about Doge, I didn't know he'd be cutting billions of dollars from government. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think he was saying during the campaign? Part of it is that I don't think that they listened to his message in full. I think they clipped one crazy thing that he said in a campaign rally and played it all day on MSNBC and CNN, and they forgot the rest of it.
That's the truth, man. I tell you what. Hey, by the way, when you join us next week, Kim St. Ange will be back. She's on vacation this morning. So
I felt something missing.
I know you did. I can tell. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint you, Todd. But we'll get...
I am wildly disappointed.
Well, she'll be back next Tuesday, buddy. Have a great week.
You too.
All right. See ya. Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First. DVR it if you can't watch it each morning. He and Carly do a great job on there. They really do. Coming up, 2-8 Tuesday, and we're going to focus on a bill that is moving through the Missouri legislature to resurrect the Second Amendment Preservation Act. We're going to get the details from the Missouri Firearms Coalition when we come back. All right, just a quick reminder here before we get to 2A Tuesday. Absentee voting for April in the general election, the general municipal election, starts today. Now, that is if you are going to, in St. Louis County, if you're going to request an absentee ballot, you can do that starting today to give yourself plenty of time. The in-person voting early doesn't start until, I believe, March 25th, if I'm reading this correct. So it'll be the end of next month before you can go in and vote early in person, but you can request an absentee ballot starting today through St. Louis County, where we got a big election coming up, and we're going to be telling you a lot more shortly about all of the school board candidates who are out there. There's a little Jedi mind trick going on with the NEA claiming in some districts they're not going to endorse this year. Nonsense. They're spending money on these candidates, and don't you buy it for a minute. They're trying to get their own slate of candidates in to these different school boards. And it's never been more important. I mean, there are great candidates running in Wentzville and the Francis Howe District and Rockwood. And we're going to be talking about all of those as we get closer to that election that's coming up in April. And they're also going to have some remote voting locations again in St. Louis County. I imagine some of the others might do that as well. The actual vote is April 8th, just to... keep that in mind. So now you've got that information. We'll get Rick Stream on to talk more about this in the coming days. Carl, hit it.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday
brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, we've talked a lot about the Second Amendment Preservation Act, and then, of course, a court stepped in and declared at least parts of it unconstitutional. There is an effort in the Missouri legislature this year to revive that, and we've got Jared Taylor with us this morning, former state representative working with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Jared, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Good to have you on this morning. Tell me what the what's different in this version of SAPA from the original.
Yeah, so we pared it back. We took what the Eighth Circuit said, and we made it it does the exact same thing that the other former version of SAPA did. And we just said basically what the court said that we could do. So we took out kind of the flowery language and reinserted everything. Didn't call anything. So in the previous version of SAPA, we said that these were infringements. Like if the federal law did these things, like if it took away the rights of citizens, the Second Amendment rights, we called them infringements. We didn't do that because the court said, well, you can't do that. We hold that ability to call those infringements or unconstitutional, but the legislature can't. So we took that language out, put it back in, just said, look, Missouri cops can't enforce federal gun laws. And that's all we said. That's exactly what the Eighth Circuit said we could do. And so that's what we did.
Interesting, because the word shall not be infringed is in the Constitution.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not allowed to use it.
It's pretty funny. That's right. Yeah, the legislature can't say why we're doing something, according to the court. But we can do it. We just can't tell them why we're doing it.
So, I have a number of friends in law enforcement, and a couple of them are the chiefs of their various departments. And once again, they're opposed to this. So why do you think that is? I mean, they've described it to me as before it was fear of being fined if they, somehow cooperated with federal authorities. I know that was part of their problem with the first version of it. On the second version of it, they brought up things like, well, if they arrest somebody and confiscate a weapon, running the serial number of that weapon in a federal database, they fear would also put them in some sort of violation of this.
We heard that during the first time, and we made provisions in SAPA to allow them to use those databases. In fact, I mean, it's very clear. It's spelled out. Missouri law enforcement can use federal resources in order to enforce Missouri law. We're not relying on the feds. We don't want to take their money to be used by them in order to enforce federal law. But we absolutely can use federal resources to enforce Missouri law. It was a scare tactic, for lack of a better term, that they used the first time. And guess what? When it was in effect for 2 years, and that didn't play out. We had law enforcement across the state using federal partners, using those databases, using those search engines to enforce Missouri law, and we didn't see any lawsuits that were brought against any Missouri law enforcement.
Who would have brought those suits, just out of interest? Because I did hear that concern quite often. There was a fine associated with it. I think it was like $50,000. And if that had ever been levied, who would have been the one bringing that complaint?
It would have been the person that would have been charged with the crime.
Okay.
So a law-abiding citizen who violated federal law that Missouri law enforcement would have enforced.
So is that that language in there again?
There is the $50,000 penalty, yeah.
Okay.
Of course, because we want to have a penalty mechanism, because if we don't, then what's the purpose of the bill?
Right.
If we don't hold people accountable, there's no purpose of having the legislation.
So I also remember last time some of the concerns, and I'm thinking of this from memory, was that if a local officer is somehow assigned or loaned to a federal task force, they would no longer be able to do that. Is that right?
So again, that's one of their claims, but that's not accurate. And we had law enforcement across the state last time pull out of task forces, but then as a knee-jerk reaction, and then realize, okay, that's not really what it says, and they started going back into these task forces, like drug task forces, for instance. There's a carve-out specifically in SEPA that says if a person, a really bad guy, is selling drugs, is doing drugs, is a manufacturer of drugs, if they're committing an A or B felony drug crime, they can also be charged with a federal firearm crime, and it's not applicable. SEPA does not apply to that person.
Okay.
Because we want to put those bad guys away.
Yeah. Jared Taylor is our guest with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. So where does the bill stand now? Was it introduced in the House or the Senate? Has it had a committee hearing? Where does it stand?
Yep. So it's in both the House and the Senate. We've got mirror bills. Senator Rick Bratton over in the Senate has already had a hearing. Actually, it's already passed the Senate committee hearing. It's going to be on the floor, I would say, within the next couple weeks. Representative Bill Hardwick has the bill over in the House, and it went through committee already, looking to have a floor or a committee vote probably this week. It'll move on to the Rules Committee probably next week.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure this is something you guys watch out for. I understood that Aaron Doerr was busy today with up on the Hill with some sort of a legislative hearing. But I had an interview earlier. I talked to John Lamping, and he's of the belief that a filibuster in the Senate over this issue with Roundup. It's easier than saying the chemical name. That there may be a filibuster in the Senate over this Roundup bill that could delay a lot of legislation between now and the end of the session.
Yeah, you know, I think that the Senate is watching that, and I think they're going to figure out a way past it like they do all the time. And, you know, I don't know what that looks like yet, but there's still a lot of time left. I'm not concerned. I think we're going to get SEPA done this year. There are a lot of people that want it done. The House and the Senate, they all want to get it done. Missouri citizens want to get it done. And so I think it's going to happen this year.
Has the governor said if he'd sign it or not?
You know, he is very strong on Second Amendment, and I don't have any concern that he's not going to sign it.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that then as this moves along. Jared Taylor, thank you for giving us some time this morning and explaining that.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Take care of yourself. Jared Taylor there with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. They're the ones pushing for this. And, of course, we'll get our friends from the other point of view on this. I got a text just a few minutes ago from my friend Chief Steve Lewis, and he's got some alternative thoughts on what this might do to law enforcement. I'll get him on the air, I promise, maybe tomorrow or later this week, and we'll talk it over. All right, quick break here. Next hour, we'll get to Senator Adam Schnelting. He might be able to answer a few questions about that Roundup bill and his own bill that would assign genders to bathrooms in high schools across Missouri. We'll be back.
You buy a home, you buy land, you know, maybe you buy the home outright, but maybe you pay off a mortgage over 30 years. And then, okay, you've paid off the mortgage, you bought the land, you've been taxed many times. It's like, is it your property or not? Just for being on your property, you got to write a check to the government every year. So you're basically paying rent to the government to live on your own property. And our homestead exemption is not strong enough to help these folks.
That's true. That's Governor DeSantis down in Florida. My parents used to own a place down there, and that homestead exemption is not much, was my experience with it when they lived down there. But he's talking about ending property taxes, and they already don't have a state income tax in Florida, which I guess means tourists are going to make up the bulk of the difference there. I mean, he didn't talk specifics, but did you listen to Vivek Ramaswamy? He's running now for governor in Ohio. And his bold, right out of the gate idea is to end the state income tax and to cut property taxes, if not eliminate them, in the state of Ohio. This is what's been talked about in Missouri, is ending the state income tax. And of course, I've always been a proponent of ending personal property tax. And I'll repeat it again. Whoever dreamed up that idea, they ought to dig up their bones and burn them. I mean, what a horrible idea that is. It really is that you keep paying a penalty on something you've owned for years. I have a 10-year-old truck, and every year I have to keep paying the state of Missouri for the right to have it. It's horrible. But anyway, I'll just say that. Let's go to the Vivek Ramaswamy bite here. Carl, cut number 10, please.
I am honored to announce my candidacy to serve as the next governor of the state of Ohio. President Trump is reviving our conviction in America. We require a leader here at home who will revive our conviction in Ohio. And that is why today I am honored to announce that I am running to be the next governor of a great state at the heart of the greatest nation known to mankind, the state where I was born and raised.
Wow. There you go. I'm trying to think. I lived in Ohio for, well, I now lived in Missouri longer than I lived in Ohio, but I lived in Ohio for the first part of my life. That would be a diversity hire for the state of Ohio. An Indian American taking over the reins in the state of Ohio. I think Vivek Ramaswamy has to be the far and away favorite in that race.
Of course.
It's a red state now. It used to be a swing state. It's not anymore. And he's from Ohio. He's from the Cincinnati area. He's got state nationwide name recognition, and he just got endorsed by Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And Mike DeWine has been a weak-kneed, lily-livered Republican in name only in the state of Ohio for a long time. And you know Vivek would be DeSantis-like, which is what we've all wanted here in the state of Missouri. So I Mike Kehoe, the jury's still out on whether or not he fulfills that role. I did hear, you heard John Lamping this morning say, if you were listening to the interview, if not, go back and listen to that on the podcast. Important information on this whole Bear lawsuit but legislation that's pending down in the House and the Senate. It passed the House. It's going to go to the Senate next, where it's likely to be filibustered. And the governor has not said if he'll sign it or not, which Lamping says means he'll sign it if it gets to his desk, because if he was against it, he would come out and say that. And he hasn't said that. I think that would be some bold leadership right there to stand up and say, no, we're not going to grant blanket immunity to pharmaceutical companies for Roundup. If it can be proven that there's a health risk to it, why would you do that? And don't buy the nonsense that it's going to hurt small farmers. I don't buy that for a minute. We're going to talk to Senator Adam Schnelting about that issue here in a few minutes, because as we learned last year, when filibusters happen, particularly this early in the session, it can screw up anything getting done. Like, we got big issues like DeSantis mentioned there, cutting the income tax in the state of Missouri. You got to phase it out, but you got to start sometime, and this would be the year to do that. You got a brand new governor, still have a supermajority in the House and Senate, and you should be able to get those things done. So we'll talk to Adam Schnelting about that. We'll also get Ryan Wiggins, host of Wiggins America, in here at about 8:35. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Don't forget to download the podcast, 971talk.com, or the Odyssey app. We're going to be back in just a minute.
The Mark Cox Morning Show, on the air and streaming at 971talk.com. Get more at 971talk.com.